All right, I just hit record on my end.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I have a special guest with us here today. We got Ted Check. What's going
hey,
on, Ted?
How you doing, man?
Man,
good to see you again.
It's been a minute. There's been a lot that's changed. A lot.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
I mean, listen, I remember when me and you were doing the podcast originally on Evil Intoxicated, we were covering UFC 200, and if you guys remember, like, around that time, like, John Jones got busted. He was about to fight DC. DC had to fight Anderson Silva, UFC 200, Amanda Nunes, Misha Tate. I mean, there's been so much that's gone down. We got a lot to cover here, Ted. I mean, what are we going to be discussing here, really, is, you know, the latest MMA news that's been going around, and also some refreshers on what's really changed between UFC 100, 200, and 300. And what I'd really like to start with here is when UFC 100 came out, you had Brock Lesnar, right? You had all these huge fights on the card. UFC 200 tried to get Conor on there. That didn't work out. The John Jones thing, that didn't work out. And then eventually UFC 300 comes out, and it feels like everything's been downgraded. I mean, between the images of the UFC 300 banner, there's no superstar here, Ted. And what it reminds me of is the WWF era after Hulk Hogan, right? That's kind of what it reminds me of right now.
Okay, so kind of we're in kind of a valley as opposed to a peak. Is that what you mean?
Well, let me make it a little clear. After Hulk Hogan, right, he started fading out. They brought in the Ultimate Warrior, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to be the successor. They had him. He pinned Hulk Hogan at one of the WrestleManias. Yeah, I remember that.
So right now, they're trying to build all these superstars. You got Sugar Sean, right? He goes in there. He gets the finish. You got John Jones still doing a thing. I still think he's one of the greatest of all time. Conor McGregor, he's out doing movies right now. He's not really around. Who is really out there that the public knows? Like, if you had to go to your kid, if I had to go to my mom, if I had to go to the bank, the ice cream man, anyway, who really knows these fighters on UFC 300? I mean, what are your thoughts on UFC 300, Ted?
All right. So, yeah, I've given this some thought. I think people put a lot of pressure on the UFC or maybe the UFC is putting pressure on itself, you know, just because of the number. You know, it's 300, so it's a big deal as far as the number. But you know, just because it's the number doesn't mean that you have to have the biggest fights, because the fight game is so unpredictable. You can't, it's so very difficult to get everything to line up. Just so, as we've seen, I mean, you know, with so many cards, it's nearly impossible to get everything lined up and say, okay, I'm going to have this guy, you know, we want Conor on UFC 300 and we want all these other guys, you know? So I think there's an expectation there, and maybe it's an unreasonable one amongst the fans, that this, that has to be the card, you know, of the century. And who knows, maybe it still will be, as far as like when you just look at the fights, you know, pure action in the fights.
So,
you know, what goes on in the fights might be great, but name wise, yeah, they don't really have the name recognition, you know, they don't have all of the stars on this card. No, they don't.
And what I feel like the UFC is doing here is they're relying on the number 300 right now. I thought they could have done a lot better. There's a lot of fans out there. No matter what, they're going to pull in numbers. But what is their biggest mistake here? Like, what was your thoughts on if you had to make UFC 300? Wouldn't you have John Jones on there? Wouldn't you have Conor McGregor on there? Wouldn't you have Sugar Sean on there? Wouldn't you have, you know, Kayla Harrison coming over from PFL? People would be excited. MVP, he fought at UFC 299. People could have been excited about that. People were rumored about Habib coming back. I mean, it doesn't feel as special as UFC 200. So what would have made it special for you?
Well, let me say this. They probably tried. They probably tried like hell to get Connor. And for whatever reason, and maybe we'll get into this later because I know you want to talk about him, some other things going on in his life. But, you know, either he's just not ready yet. You know, he's still doing right now. He's doing all sorts of hype for the movie, for Roadhouse, which I just watched. And if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that. So I saw it when it, you know, a couple days ago or whatever. Actually, I watched it twice because I watched it once by myself. Then I watched it with the wife. So I can't believe she wanted to see it. But, you know, she likes Jake Gyllenhaal. So whatever. Anyway, I'm sure they tried like hell to get Connor. They tried like hell to get John Jones. Apparently, he's still injured. We saw that. It's kind of I like that Tom Aspinall just went right up to him. It's like, hey, man, we need to do this. We need to fight. And he clapped him on the shoulder. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's like his thing.
And then
yeah.
John Jones pushed him off.
That's like his big thing.
I like that. Well, right. So John Jones is apparently still rehabbing. I guess it's his shoulder. So, you know, like I said, just things just weren't lining up. You know, I'm sure they wanted to get a really, really stacked card. And of course, Dana White has to, now that he has the card set and you know, fans are kind of meh, you know, he's got to say, oh, well, every fight on that main card could be a main event fight. You know, he's got to be the carnival barker. He's got to be the P.T. Barnum and say that. Of course, we get it. But yeah,
P.T. Barnum,
P.T. Barnum. Oh yeah, he's the carnival. Yeah, he's gotta hype it up. Sure. I wonder if they're gonna raise the rates because you remember for UFC 200, they raised the pay-per-view rate, and then if I remember correctly, they said it's only for this one. It's only for UFC 200. But it didn't drop back down once we got to 201.
I think you're right about that. They boosted it up and they're like, oh, you're going to get a subscription as well once you purchase this. It was like part of like a whole package. But going back to what you were saying with the Roadhouse movie, I want to bring that up really quick because Connor said that he was ready for this UFC 300 card. He wanted to be on UFC 200. Of course, the movie's going on, blah, blah, blah. But they did a whole season of The Ultimate Fighter. You have Michael Chandler out here trying to do, you know, WWE promos. He's going out there, putting himself on the line. And he kind of looks like a lunatic. And Connor was even hinting that he was going to make a return. But my thought was he's going to dish over on Chandler. And he was going to end up fighting somebody at UFC 300. That was going to be like the big surprise. However, it wasn't. He comes out with this movie and he looks like he's really truly messed up. So I feel like when they take away USADA, right, they give Jose Aldo a pass on his 6-month drug test right now. And, you know, I thought that had to do something with trying to get Connor into UFC 300. However, that was a big miss. Before we get in the movie and more about Connor and what I think is going on, what do you think about this headline, man? You have Alex going up against Jamal Hill. I mean, nobody really knows who these people are. Pereira has all the star power in the world, but nobody is really paying attention to who he is. And that can't be the UFC's fault because this day and age, we know it's on the fighters. And unless you're right. Paige VanZant or Sage Northcutt 5-6 years ago, you're not going to get on a 7-11. Yeah. I mean, here's what the issue is with UFC 300. Not only is the card bad, but people are also complaining about the banner. It's just UFC 300 with a gold background. You don't have Boss Logic, who's iconic. You don't have some of these artists that we see on on Twitter getting the shine. But then you look at UFC 100's poster, UFC 200, and it was all glamour. This is a billion-dollar company, Ted.
Multi-billion dollar, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's behind that. I remember, you know, back when I was covering the shit out of this sport, you know, getting on the message boards and everything and seeing what other fans were writing, and they would just pick apart the posters. As soon as a poster would come out for an event, they would just pick it apart and they would say, oh my God, they had the intern do it this time. It was always the, you know, when it was a shitty poster, it's the intern did it again.
It used to be the gray background, just the copy and paste. Yeah.
So they blame, they were just bullshitting, but they would say, oh yeah, that's the intern. I don't know what they're doing here. You know, maybe they're just going with something very simplistic. Going to your point, your question about Paella, is it John Mahal or is it Jamal?
Would you say John Mahal? I like that.
Because it looks like John Mahal, or do you just roll it and say Jamal?
Aaron.
So how do you pronounce his first name?
Aaron.
Aaron. Be nice. Anyway, so we'll just call him Hill. Right, he's the former
Ann Hill.
Champ.
We'll call him J-Ann Hill.
J-Hill. We'll call him J-Hill. Yeah, so he's the former champ, and Paella is the current champ. There was a crazy video that got out. If I was Paella, I would have tried to put the kibosh on that, but you got some little rapper who knocked him out.
I didn't see this. What?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember the kid's name, but... you know, they're just, they got the boxing gloves on and they're sparring, and it seems like it's light, but the guy gets him right on the button and down he goes. Down Paella goes.
Really? I did not see that.
Yeah. Can't remember the kid's name, but, he's a rapper apparently. I don't know what kind of skills he has, you know, whether he was Golden Gloves or, you know, what his background is. But he got a shot in on Paella.
Was this now, and recent?
Yeah.
Reminds me of, what was it? Was it the Conor McGregor rumors of him getting knocked out before going into a... There was one big fight where everyone was saying, oh, he got knocked out. I think it was John Jones. Everyone was saying he got knocked out before an upcoming fight that he had.
Well, if you go back to Pride... There was a backstage altercation between Wanderlei Silva and Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse.
And they said, and the rumor was that Crazy Horse knocked Wanderlei out. And that was in when Wanderlei was destroying everybody.
There's, you know, clips of it.
Juiced,
but not
he was juiced clip. Up, and he was the champ, and he was just tearing cats down in Pride. And supposedly there was, yeah, it was just Crazy Horse by himself, and he got surrounded by all these Brazilians, and he knocked Wanderlei out. And it was, now there was no footage of that. The footage was when one of Wanderlei's teammates got Crazy Horse. It was just after that, right after Crazy Horse knocked him out. Then he starts going with Wanderlei's teammate, and the guy gets him in a triangle, and Crazy Horse goes to sleep.
That's right. That's the only footage.
I don't know if that was what you're thinking of.
I think that is what I was thinking of there. And you know what I have to say about it? I mean, between, like, not to get off topic, but, like, what are all these fighters doing going in there against streamers, going in there against, like, all these, like, what? We don't need any of that. It looks bad. And this is another case where it looks awful.
It's a terrible look. That right there with the rapper and Paella is a terrible look. But I guess once it got out there, you know, he couldn't shy away from it. So I think he might have even posted it on some of his social media, like trying to play it off. Like, well, yeah, shit happens.
Are you a little surprised that they didn't do a third fight? What, maybe the fourth fight at this point, if you consider it, against Adesanya for UFC 300?
I wanted to see it, but I guess then he just... decided he was going to move up to 205, right? I don't know what that was all about. Why he wouldn't want to avenge that knockout.
I have no doubt in the world that this main event, because me and you used to always talk about this. If your co-main event and your main event don't put on fireworks, no one's going to remember it. Of course, people are going to buy this card. I think it's a great person to have, two people to have. But it's lacking a little bit. And if there's one thing they could add still as a surprise, even though it's a little late, what about this, Dad? The surprise being Goldie returning to be commentating for UFC 300.
Oh, my God. Huh. I mean, that would be a surprise for sure.
He never had the right goodbye, right? I would that would get me a little excited.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the problem was. I mean, I remember fans had a problem with him because he would kind of flub things every now and then. But the sentiment was, if I remember it, was that he's our Goldie. Yeah, he might mess up here and there, but he's our guy. He's our Goldie.
It was iconic. His voice was just iconic. And you could say what you want about the other commentators bringing fighters in now, but Goldie held something really special to the hearts. And if you brought him back for UFC 300, for all the people who don't really watch, it would really blend into something that felt special, mm-hmm. even if the fights weren't all that good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, the commentary, I mean, I think you're right. It is kind of missing something, some people don't care about it or whatever, or they just it doesn't make any difference to them. But for those of us who do appreciate it, you know, seeing and hearing a professional like Goldie, it would really be something. Because I don't know. I was never, just going to be honest, I was never really big on John Anik. You know, I don't know. I thought he tries too hard. And then he's sensitive too.
Oh yeah.
Remember the whole thing a couple months ago.
Like he's never been around MMA fans.
Yeah. It's like, look, dude, you're in the public eye. You're going to get that. You're going to get flack. So just ignore your Twitter for a while. You can't handle it. Just unplug.
Think about what fighters have to go through.
To do that.
What I also want to discuss about UFC 300. Not the co-main event. I'm not too excited about the co-main event. I'm really excited about Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway. Ted, this is a good one to be on UFC 300. What are your thoughts?
Gaethje. That was the co-main event. I thought the BMF title was the co-main.
I see they got Zhang versus Jan as the co-main, but this might be a little old.
Oh, they flipped. Okay, well maybe they. I know they were toying around with having that as the co-main event. There's my cat.
Cat
has to make an appearance.
I love that you're still like in the psych ward. For people listening to the audio podcast, jump over to youtube.com/PureEvilMMA to check this out. You're still in the grow room.
The grow room or the padded cell, whichever you prefer. Yeah, because some people called it one and some people call it the other, but... Yeah. For those who are just listening to the audio, it's my basement, my own basement, and it's just the insulation. I don't have any walls up.
You're Bubble Boy in there.
Insulation.
Like Bubble Boy. You're Bubble Boy in there.
Bubble Boy, the boy in the bubble. Yeah, it's just the insulation. So it kind of looks like a padded cell in here. So I figured, yeah, why not continue with that for this, you know. Bring it on back.
I love it. But like going into the whole Justin Gaethje Max Holloway thing, we've seen a lot of changes over there. Justin Gaethje is the one fighter that has come over from another organization that has really put on an amazing shine. And what I want to discuss here
is... He is the highlight. That's his nickname.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What I want to discuss is PFL and Bellator. They get rid of MVP. They get rid of Kayla. They get rid of their biggest stars, right, to go over to the UFC. They merge together. We'll get back to UFC 300. PFL, Bellator, they merge together. What were your thoughts on that decision? Because not many people thought that Bellator would do good for a while. Scott Coker takes over. He did a great job slacking a little bit as the years went on. PFL did a lot better than a lot of people thought. BKFC is the real shiner here, but anyway, what were your thoughts, Bellator, PFL joining and not really having star power?
Yeah, and there's that theme again, star power, as you were talking about with UFC 300. Well, I'll say this first. Yeah, it is, like you said, it is up to the fighters. You have to create your own brand and your own persona, and you know, the UFC will help you, but really you as a fighter are in charge of that, and your manager and whoever else. you know, you've got all these platforms out there, all these social media platforms. You've got it all right there. You've got an audience. So it's up to you to do what you will with it. You know, what kind of persona are you going to assume? It is kind of it's the fight business. So
it's
yeah,
a lot of eating bullshit you don't want to deal with, too. Right. Just for the growing of your brand, like Ian Garry, he doesn't have to respond to Colby Covington and his old act. It's an old act, but he responds and he feeds into it and it does good for him.
Right, right. Ian Garry probably is saying, oh, Colby is an established guy. He's modeled himself as the Trump supporting American patriot who has a disdain for what does he say, virgins and nerds, so that's Colby Covington, right? And he's fairly recognizable in the sport. So Ian Garry, I would imagine, wants to get away from what people have attached to him, which is the cuck. He takes his wife's name, and supposedly her ex lives with them or doesn't live with them. I mean, it's a rumor, but still, he's if I was him, and if I was managing him, or if I was in charge of his PR, I would be like, yes, go after Colby so that people can forget about this other bullshit of you being a cuck. That's that. But going back to your question about PFL and Bellator. So I remember when PFL started as World Series of Fighting, right? WSOF.
Yeah. Yep.
They started as that. And their whole gimmick was, I think, if I remember at the time, was seasons. They had seasons of fighting, right? They wouldn't fight year round, which I thought that was kind of weird, because it's the fight game. The fight game goes all the time.
Yeah.
It's not football. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. So I thought they were starting at a disadvantage doing it that way. I thought it was interesting that they said, oh, yeah, yeah, we got $1 million purse or whatever. I don't know if it was still with World Series of Fighting or once they switched over to PFL. But at some point, they said, hey, we got $1 million purse. And yet still, that wasn't enough to get big fighters.
I went to a couple of those events, man, and they did good. I went to once they turned to PFL, it was the $1 million purse. They had Kevin Hart hyping it up. I got to go to Madison Square Garden twice for two New Year's for this card, go backstage, see the Happy Gilmore giant check that said $1 million. They had Kayla in there. They had great fights, but the one thing that made it good was it was easy to access, which Bellator has lacked. So I thought joining these two companies together could do some pluses. What did you think was going to come out of this? Because it seems like they just dropped it all after one.
Well, I got one question for you. You said easy access. You're talking about for MMA media, easy access? Like easy to get backstage, easy to interview fighters? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm more talking about joining together to be more of a commercial brand, to let people know where they're going to be. Because remember, ESPN deal, right, with the PFL, and then now that's gone. They're with HBO Max. The best thing is to grab onto the coattails, and Bellator had its shot right there. Bellator was doing their best when they were putting on freak shows, whether anyone wants to admit it or not.
I mean, that right there will get eyes on the product. Sure.
Kimbo Slays versus Data 5000, Hoyce Gracie, Ken Shamrock.
Oh, my God.
Best card they ever put on.
Wait, wasn't that the fight where Data 5000 basically died in the cage?
And has a heart attack.
I believe he was dead in there for a little while.
And
it came out later that he actually was dead, and that they carted him off, I guess, and somehow he survived.
But you remember it, right? That's unremembered. What's another card you remember from Bellator since then like that, other than MVP smashing a dude's forehead, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was the can crusher in that organization. We can get into him later. But all right. So but I was asking you about access, because when I was covering it, I went to a couple of Bellator cards in Atlantic City. And I found that this is actually still, I think, when Bjorn Rebney was running it. And there's a name. And I thought it was great, you know, the way that they treated the media. And Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, well, they should have, because they were, you know, trying to scratch and claw their way up to the top, or you know, I mean, I guess they were already kind of de facto the number two organization, second to the UFC. But
that was before MMA was as big as it is now, too.
Yeah, yeah, but they, yep, and so, but I thought they treated us great. You know,
let me comment on that. There was a moment when PFL and Bellator started getting a little cocky and limiting their press. So that only hurts the company.
Yeah. 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 I don't know why they would do such a thing. Because they were, in my mind, at least, they're a distant second.
So now they come together. They have two rosters, Ted. Two rosters.
Right. Right. So what are they going to do? Are they going to continue with two separate organizations and have, like, they had that joint card or whatever. So you had champion versus champion. I think that's a great thing. You know, I think the stakes are higher so it makes it more interesting, you know, two different belts. So you can have does the guy walk away with both belts? Did they? I didn't see the whole thing, but I mean, I think the concept is good. Those things always, I think, did well in pro wrestling, when you would have, like, and I'm going back before WWE ruled everything. So back in the 70s and 80s, like, they would have the AWA champ versus the NWA champ. Like Ric Flair Ric Flair was the NWA champ, and he wrestled Rick Martel, who was the AWA champ. You know, stuff like that. Occasionally they would do that sort of thing.
Which brings excitement. Do you think that this brought excitement, though? Like, the UFC struggling with superstars.
Right.
PFL, I mean, and Bellator are trading.
It caught my eye.
Yeah.
That they were doing that. And I definitely looked into it a bit. You know, I tried to find some of the fights on YouTube and things like that. So it did catch my eye. You know, all that glittering gold of the two belts, you know, and everything, that I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting. Even though I don't know these fighters, I really had no idea who any of the fighters were.
Well, let me say this. I don't know how far you looked into it, but PFL got destroyed up until the main event. Like, Bellator, it was a clean sweep all the way up to that heavyweight fight.
So my question is, I don't know if this is known, if they've said anything about this publicly, but yeah, are they going to continue with the two organizations and continue to have joint cards where they'll be, you know, possibly trading belts back and forth like that?
My understanding.
Will a title fight always be with the two belts? Because I thought that was kind of cool.
That is.
Way back in, I keep making pro wrestling references, but it's undeniable, the connection between the two. So back in Japan, they used to have something called the Triple Crown. It was three different belts. You had to hold all three of them at the same time. They would never parse them out. But it was called the Triple Crown because it was three distinct different belts that you had all this freaking hardware that you would go to the ring with. And it was very prestigious. It was just in one organization, though. I think it was All Japan.
Well, hold on. For the listeners that aren't familiar, like, what do you mean three belts? Like, how do you obtain the three belts? Like,
well, they always came as a package. Like, that you when you beat the guy who held the belts, you got all three.
Okay.
All right. So there were three distinct belts, and I'd have to. I don't even know. I couldn't even name you what they were, but it was called the Triple Crown. When you hear that Triple Crown, that comes from horse racing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it comes from horse racing. So it's the top three races in horse racing, but they applied it to pro wrestling, and so it's the three belts in All Japan that you could win, and you always won them together, like I said. So maybe they'll do this with PFL and Bellator. You know, you win both belts when you beat the current champ. Is that what's going to happen?
From my understanding right now, I'm pretty sure Bellator has gotten rid of PFL. Like, it was a one event thing. We thought it was going to be forever. I could be wrong, because they just signed with HBO Max, which I'm kind of pumped
just
about.
Just Bellator, not PFL, just Bellator.
From my understanding, because when they made the tweet, and I have it here on my Twitter page, when they made the tweet, it was just the Bellator logo.
But wait, I thought one, I thought the PFL acquired Bellator.
Ooh.
I thought they acquired them, didn't they?
So it says, here, I'm here on Twitter. It's literally the Bellator logo.
Hold on. I'm just, I know this is dead air here. I'm just looking this up.
Same here.
I'm looking at a headline. PFL acquires Bellator in industry transformative deal. Well, this is a PFL saying it's industry transformative. I mean, you could argue that point. But PFL buys Bellator. So it's possible then that they're going to run them separately. If only Bellator, like you say, if only Bellator has the deal with HBO, and then PFL probably has their own deal with somebody else.
I think he is.
So they're going to run them as separate organizations, but then maybe they'll just continue to have joint cards. That's what I would do.
That's what I would hope. I don't know. Because even I'm on their Twitter page right now. They're doing a championship series. They're going to Paris. UFC.
So maybe they'll operate some cards independently, and then maybe the real big, maybe the, like quarterly, they'll do, they'll collaborate. They'll do joint cards.
Well, we'll see what happens moving forward with them. But like one of the biggest things here, I hope they don't drop the bag, because it's really important for mixed martial arts to have these promotions. We don't want to lose them, because then the UFC runs it all. And I really like to think that there are MMA fans out there that watch other promotions, because we really enjoy it. I mean, BKFC has really done an amazing job out of any promotion, surprisingly.
Yeah, I like watching it. It's very exciting. It used to be bare knuckle was where MMA fighters went to die.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing that, the top guy is a former UFC fighter. He's Platinum Mike Perry. He's their he doesn't even have a title. Well, he's got their version of the BMF title. What do they call it? I can't remember what they call it. But he doesn't have a weight class title. But he's just without a doubt the most popular guy that they have. He's their ace. He's their top guy. He's really flourished there. And it's very exciting. And I just hope they continue with it. I hope they don't sell. Supposedly they had an offer that the owner said that I forget his name, Dave something. he said that he had an offer, but he turned it down because Dave Feldman. So he said they had an offer and he turned it down. An offer to buy the company.
So I have right here on Twitter, let me pull it up for everybody too. Boom. Right here. It says Professional Fighter League presents Bellator. That's what it is now.
There it is. All right. Yeah. If they were to totally combine, they would probably have to get rid of a lot of fighters. If you're gonna take two organizations and make them one. But yet you're only on one platform, or you only have so much time. There's only so many cards that you can put on per year, right? Like, let's just say for sake of argument, like Bellator puts on 12 cards a year, and PFL puts on 12 cards a year. But if they combine, then it's two organizations combining to only put on 12 cards. So you're going to probably have to get rid of some fighters. Well, I like running them separately because that gives more opportunities for the fighters.
So what they have lined up here for HBO Max is 8 events this year. From March 22nd, they're going to be in Belfast, Ireland. May 17th, Paris, France. June 22nd, Dublin, Ireland. September 7th, San Diego, California. September 14th, London, England. October 12th, Chicago. November 16th, Paris, France. And guess where they go December 31st? Sadama, Japan.
MSG. What's that? Japan?
Japan.
Okay. That's great because they know that the Japanese fans love their MMA and their pro wrestling on New Year's Eve. There's always a big show on New Year's Eve. Pride used to do it. K1 used to do it. some of the pro wrestling organizations do it. They love their combat sports on New Year's Eve in Japan. I think it's fantastic.
So moving forward from Bellator, I want to discuss something else here.
Mm-hmm.
MVP comes over to the UFC. Kayla Harrison comes over to the UFC. They're not putting him on UFC 300. We got to see MVP in there. Did you get to see his fight?
I think I saw a part of it.
A lot of people were complaining that it was a little boring. But in my head, when there isn't any action when they're throwing, my head goes wild because these are two guys at the top of the top. Any trigger they pull could end it, right? It's not like Francis Ngannou versus Derek Lewis. This is more high-paced. You could see all the action going down, all the thoughts processing. I thought that was actually very exciting, and I'm actually really interested to see what MVP takes on next. I mean, they're throwing him into the top 15. Do you think he has what it takes to be a UFC champion?
Not really.
He could be a star. Well,
he could be a star. He could be a star, and then, you know, if he continues, he could be a gatekeeper. And why I say that is that, he put in a lot of time and a lot of years in Bellator, and they never really challenged him. And the times that he was challenged, he lost. He lost one time against Douglas Lima. Yeah, but I mean, they just kept feeding him cans, you know, and in that way, he was able to show, you know, his skills and make exciting fights because he had it in the bag, you know. But against stiffer competition, he's not going to be able to do that kind of stuff. So you were saying that, you know, you're describing his fight in the UFC as boring. So it sounds like he was a little bit more careful and guarded with what he was doing.
But not like Eddie Alvarez, where he stuck to his wrestling and didn't show us the real underground king. You know, Eddie Alvarez, all he was doing up to the championship was he was relying on his wrestling in a lot of boring fights. It wasn't like that.
Okay. All right. But I'm sure that he was putting pressure on himself not to lose. Like you do not want to lose your UFC debut.
No.
You know? So, yeah. Okay, so fine. He won. So, yeah, give him somebody tougher. See what he can do with whoever that is.
So what about Kayla?
I think also it's his age, too. The other fact I was just going to say quickly. So, I mean, he's 35, I believe. So, you know, he's getting on in years. He ain't no spring chicken anymore. You know, he's kind of getting into that territory of maybe kind of almost past his prime kind of thing.
So
you know, they say 30. They say 30 is like the nexus. 29-30, it's where your skills and your strength and your age, they kind of all come together. And if you can harness that at that time, you could and you know, if everything falls into place, you know, you could possibly be a champ.
Well, Michael Chandler said something that I thought was really special. A lot of people, they think I need the gold, I need the title to make sure that I'm remembered, I'm loved. Michael Chandler said something amazing. People aren't going to remember that. They're going to remember how you made them feel. And I think that's something MVP brings to the table. Kayla Harrison brings to the table. But with Kayla, with MVP, if they didn't leave those organizations, they would end up having to find a second job in a couple of years, probably.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a thought about MVP. I think a lot of it might have to do with, okay, so some people want to see this exciting fighter. You know, they want to see him do crazy moves. And then the other side of it is people hate cocky fighters and they want to see the fighters get their comeuppance. Because there's comeuppance. Yeah. They want to see retribution. Because there's I can't remember the name of the YouTube channel, but this one guy calls it's dirty fighters who, you know, get a bit of karma, and so that you'll hear the announcer, oh, this rat, so that he calls them rats.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his
it's
name.
Just, it's one channel. It's one channel. It almost sounds like the voice is AI. It may not even be a real person. It might be an AI voice, but he calls it, you know, the dirty rat. You know, it'd be like Gilbert Yavel. Remember that guy? Or Gilbert Ivel.
Yeah.
He was a really, really dirty fighter. Well, you know, and then it'll show one fight Paul where Harris. He beat down. You know, or there's it's so many of them. Yeah, yeah. Who's Mar Paul Harris would be another one. But yeah, it's rat after rat.
Diego,
you know,
Brandt.
Dirty rats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I think, in a lot of people, there's that desire to see the cocky fighter get put down.
Now, I'm glad you said that. That's a good transition. I mean, we're going to round it all out perfectly, it seems like. Last night, somebody got bit in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
What Dana White did here, after the fight, he gave the opponent a bonus. He then told the fighter who bit him, see ya. But in the past, right. Ted, we've seen situations like this. Roy Nelson kicking Big John. We've seen Mickey Gall bite Diego Sanchez. What are some other crazy things we've seen in there where fighters really haven't been punished?
Paul Daly punched Josh Koscheck.
That's right.
After fight.
Sayonara to him, right? Yeah. Wow. Right. That's a throwback.
Yeah, my theory on that was, I was thinking about that before we started, but you just mentioned somewhere they got away with it. My theory was Dana White hates to be embarrassed. So if you do something in the cage that embarrasses Dana White, that embarrasses the UFC, that embarrasses the sport of MMA, then you're gone. But if you do something outside, like John Jones getting pulled over and he's got weed and he's got whatever, or he
beating his wife or whatever.
His wife, or yeah, Connor taking that dolly and throwing it at the bus. Or
beating old men up.
Yeah, you do that outside of the cage, and it seems like, you know, he'll bail you out, he'll support you.
Calling Brazil a bunch of filthy animals, you know.
Yeah, maybe it also has to do with the fact that Connor and John Jones put asses in the seats and sell pay-per-views. Maybe that's why they keep getting chances, but I don't know. Because I remember there was a guy, I can't remember the guy's name. He might have had one UFC fight, and then he got charged with domestic violence. It was just an allegation. And Dana gave him the boot. He had like one fight in the UFC. He was not known by, you know, he wasn't really a known fighter.
I was thinking about, what's his name? Jesse from the Ultimate Fighter. He won the Ultimate Fighter. Then he got kicked out. He got brought back for the redemption season that we covered. What the hell is his name? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Dana White seems to do that. Was that the right call here though? I mean, To fire
fighting
him
is pretty serious. I mean, that's pretty damn serious. So I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Swift justice. You know, I mean, he needs to send a Dana White needs to send a message, you know, to everybody out there, to the critics, even if he would tell you he doesn't give a shit about the critics. He does, I think. So he needs to say, hey, look, that's not allowed. And, you know, justice is going to be swift. You're out. You're done.
I'm glad that you said that, because you mentioned, Ted, he'll punish you for things that he gets embarrassed about, but outside the ring, where do we draw the line? Like, what is right? What is wrong? Should it really be this kind of dictatorship, or should there be set rules? Like, I kind of like it this way, but
I mean, the UFC is its own company. You know, it's not like, boxing, where you have the different organizations, the WBO and the all these different organizations, and then the promoters just put on the fights. But the UFC is running everything, so they can do whatever they want.
If they want to bring in an NFL player that's beaten his wife and is kicked out, they could do that.
Oh, Greg Hardy?
Yeah, like. It just seems all over the place, you know. That's just.
Right. Yeah. No. I was against that. I was against bringing him in, but I think they were thinking about, well, this guy's an ex-NFL player, number one, so he's bringing a fan base with him. But also, a lot of people hate him, so they want to see the bad guy, you know, get the shit kicked out of him.
Also, Ted, kind of bad timing to piss off Dana, because there was just a huge settlement. Ted, do you want to talk about this huge? You heard about this settlement?
So it's a number of fighters that filed a civil suit against the UFC. It's been in the courts for several years, right? Like 3-4 years, something like that.
Well, remember they tried doing a fighters organization
union.
Remember that?
Right. Yeah, there was talk of a union, but I forget what was the main complaint from this group of fighters. I know John Fitch was involved and some other guys.
What's his name?
What's their main?
Tim Sylvia, like having his arm broken in half, and years later he shows the photo of his arm and the surgery, how it got botched, and like UFC will not pay for that.
Oh, that was Frank Mir. Frank Mir broke that arm.
Oh yeah. Sylvia pretended like nothing happened at the time either, if you remember.
But you could see it in slow-mo. He had the arm bar on, and the thing just went poof.
So I think it had some... That was disgusting, yeah.
But that had to do with, like, healthcare? Like taking care of the fighters?
I believe so. But the way that people are saying they're going to be paid out is all different with how long you fought for. But I think that's a huge win and something that I really never thought we would see.
Mm. Okay, so they did settle with the fighters. Is that right? They did pay out. It was a payout, a settlement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Each fighter, is getting around about $250,000, depending on your activity and what you need to get covered for.
I mean, if you look at other professional sports, I do believe that the UFC fighters, that the majority of the UFC fighters are paid the least.
But right? Would
when you
say
the average salary?
Yeah.
Average salary for football, for NFL or baseball, like the bottom, even the bottom rung, not even the average salary, the bottom rung salary is probably still more than most UFC fighters make.
That's something that they put out there. So, like, my point here is, Ted, it has to happen in the organization. Like, you have to get hurt in the organization. That's the only thing I find fair. They shouldn't have to take care of these fighters forever. But if you have issues, medical issues, this and that, I feel like the UFC should cover that, especially for their former champions.
Well, yeah, and I think some of it might have to do with the fact that they are independent contractors. They're not actually employees of the UFC. And the UFC does that so that they don't have to cover their health care and everything. Because, like, you know, you have a job, I have a job. And, you know, most jobs have some type of health care attached to them. And they also, most jobs have some type of, you know, like a 401k, some type of retirement.
But when do you get the golden pin of saying, listen, you did your part for us. You made us the money. You brought the crowd in. You put on exciting fights. You deserve, like,
right.
I feel like it's really important.
Well, if you're Forrest Griffin, you do.
Oh yeah.
He's Dana has found work for Forrest Griffin over the years. I mean,
crazy ones. Yeah.
I love Forrest Griffin. Mm-hmm. I love the guy. I loved him when he was a fighter. I think he's a great guy. But you know, and so for his loyalty to the company and to Dana White, Dana White has found employment for him in the organization. He's had numerous roles, right? Because we've seen him just recently in the slap fighting. When the guy gets slapped, he's there behind the guy catching him, and then he was there at the performance center or whatever that's called when Strickland was beating up on
the kid
on Sneeko.
You know his Sneeko. Name, bro. Oh my god.
Oh, I know who Sneeko is. Yeah. I've seen his stuff.
Let's talk about that as we bring that up.
Nico was used to hang out with Andrew Tate and Fresh and Fit, so I've seen him. Yeah,
you keep up with all that? That's wild.
Oh yeah, I do. Hell yeah, I do. Sure.
So let's touch on that for just 1 second. I thought it was really important that Sean he got a bunch of shit for it, but I am so sick and tired of all these influencers coming in, boxing, you know, some of our legends and getting the upper hand, trying to make a name for themselves and trying to make MMA look bad. What Sean Strickland did here was say, all right, you want to come in here? I'm going to show you what it's really like. You're not made for this. And I thought it was a lesson that more MMA fighters should take pride in. You see all these people coming up. Hey, give me a punch to the chest. Kick me in the leg. Do this, do that. No, you want to see what it's about? Right? You kind of agree? See what I'm saying?
In one sense, I could see how, you know, a fan would be like, oh, I wonder what it would feel like, you know, like to have a natural curiosity. I think that's okay to have that natural curiosity. But at the same time, I see where Strickland's going with this, because if you listen to him talk, you know, he'll be like, well, I'm in a room, and I'm in a room filled with all these celebrities. And, you know, he clearly feels awkward, like he doesn't belong. He's not the same as them. He feels like an outcast, an outsider. And so, you know, to see I think something in his mind, like it doesn't compute in his mind, these freakish people. To him, they're freakish. So he just wants to smash them, you know, because they look down on him, they look at him as if he's the freak. And he's like, no, you got to twist it. I'm just a normal guy here, just a blue collar guy, you know, making my living in a sport I love and that I'm good at. And here you are, you know, looking down on me. That's the whole confrontation with what's that guy's name? Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh,
where he looks at the guy like, you look like a vampire.
Yeah.
Well, who the hell are you?
But it's all these fighters are getting run over. And I feel like it was so important that Sean Strickland put it out there to be like, you want to be able to walk away from this situation saying, look what I did to the UFC champion. Anyone can do it. No, bro, this is not made for everybody. So I wanted to mention that really quick. I thought that was really important.
Yeah, yeah. Strickland is a guy that, I mean, you know, he's had you know, a difficult upbringing, so that has shaped him as you know, whatever our backgrounds are, they shape us as humans. And so his, you know, we know all about it because he's told us, and that,
I think that's, you know, important, that's cool. Too. Yeah.
He's a real guy. He's real, and he's not going to hold anything back. And, you know, he seems to be on this crusade to show the celebrities, the influencers, that they're really not all that, you know, that they're really not above the rest of us.
Circling back, it's such a good point, because Sean Strickland this last year especially made such a name for himself. I'm surprised they didn't add him to UFC 300. There's all these situations where I feel like the UFC missed. Before we get back to UFC 300 and round everything out here, Ted, you're talking about Conor McGregor in this upcoming movie, and this is something that everyone is interested in, but they don't know if they want to go into it. So I want to say something. I'm going to bring up my Twitter right here, and inside of my tags here, my father messaged me. My father messaged me, and he goes, did you see the new Roadhouse movie? It was totally awesome. Conor McGregor. Did you see the new movie Roadhouse, the remake, Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor? It's totally awesome. Kind of got me thinking in my head, like, should I check this out? So after this, all these interviews come out, Ted, of Conor McGregor, where it looks like he's not okay. He is tweaking left and right. He does not seem okay. Did you see these videos, and what are your thoughts on Conor right now and the situation, and your thoughts on the movie? I'll give it over to you right now.
Yeah. Let's see. So I've seen a couple of videos on YouTube after you mentioned this as a topic to me, where people are talking about, you know, his alleged drug use, and that sort of rumor is nothing new. Those rumors have been going on for a long time. And I'm not saying whether there's any credence to them or not, but yeah, the behavior that he's exhibiting is similar to someone who may be addicted to something.
It reminds me of Adolf Hitler sitting at the Olympics, rocking back. And you ever see that clip of Hitler rocking back and forth at the Olympics?
No, I haven't seen that one.
I'll tag you in it.
Okay. But that's real, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what was going on there, but with Conor, yeah, I can remember, you know, okay, so you and I, before we went on, we looked at those like our last broadcast was 6 years ago. Is that right?
2018. Yeah.
Okay. So before that, there were, I remember seeing stuff about Connor. Don't you remember that? You know, people saying, ah, yeah, he's on this, he's on that.
Waking up in that room with the girl who took the video of him.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, those are persistent rumors that have been going on, and I'm not saying, you know.
But if you look at how he used to talk, so intelligent, so with class, to now.
Right.
And here's the clip. Let me show everybody really quick. Here's the clip of Hitler rocking back and forth.
Jeez.
Right here. Ted, you can't see it right now, but
no.
It's definitely
I'm unfortunately I'm visualizing it in my mind.
On some speed. But yeah, what did you think about this movie here though?
All right, so yeah, the drug thing aside, which let me close that up.
Oh, sorry.
No. Yeah, so you know, God, if that is an issue for him, I hope he gets some help on that.
I landed
you
one
know,
point.
We see it with celebrities, right? You know, that it's kind of sometimes it ends up being part of the lifestyle. Like I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law today about the 80s, and it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll in the 80s, you know.
Wait, still not? I mean, I'm living like I'm in Motley Crue every day over here.
Well, yeah, speaking of that, you know, like the scene, the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles in the 80s, you know, that was the lifestyle, the groupies, the cocaine, you know, and everything else. And that was just what you did. Like that was kind of expected of you. And so, you know, to this day, we see that with people who have millions upon millions of dollars.
In a members only leather jacket. Right, the member.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, what's the next thing that's going to what can I get or what can I do to make life interesting?
But is it alarming though at this point, Ted? I'm gonna play this clip.
Yeah,
I wonder if you can hear this.
Once,
and he hit me with a door.
Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, let me just play it for the audience really quick.
He was good to me, and I sometimes had to remind him.
Like, I landed one punch
once,
and he hit me with a door. Other than that, it was absolutely perfect.
That's true.
Amazing.
It seems like he can barely talk. He's cutting off his breaths in between sentences. He's shrugging his shoulders a lot. To me, Ted, if I saw one of my friends acting like this, it would be extremely alarming. I've seen people overdose before. I just lost my stepmother from something very similar. It's just really scary to see somebody at the top. He wants to come back and perform. It just looks really ugly. But you're saying this is actually a win. The movie was actually really good. Maybe he's just exhausted.
I mean, okay. I would say he was. So I watched the movie.
Ted, I'm gonna hand the floor over to you. I'm gonna put you in the full screen right here. Let's get a movie review.
You don't have to do that, Eddie.
We need a movie review because I want to hear this. I want to hear how good this is.
Well, all right. So, well, bottom line is, after watching the remake, I wanted to go back and watch the original. I'll put it that way. The one from 1989 with Patrick Swayze. That infamous fight scene where he tears the guy's throat out. Tears his larynx out.
My one question, is it that similar? Like, what's different in this movie that makes it maybe better? That would be my question.
It makes it better.
Or what is different about this makes it good?
I don't know that there's anything that makes it better. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I don't know that there's anything that makes it better than the first one. I mean, I think Connor is the bright spot in the movie. Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, he's a great actor. We've seen him in lots of different roles. He's very versatile, but he kind of comes off as goofy, you know, like Patrick Swayze had like that stone cold killer, but he was also a philosopher kind of guy. You know what I mean? He's very cerebral, but he had that icy stare at the same time. But yeah, you know, like it was a great character. It's a great character. I mean, yeah, it's an action movie. But Swayze's character, he brought a lot to it. Gyllenhaal. He comes off as kind of this goofy, lackadaisical. And I don't know that.
You wanted like Wolverine in there.
Yeah, I needed more of the masculine archetype, and I think they thought I what was the equal sign on the neck? What did that? I know they wanted him tatted up. Okay, great. But then they put an equal sign tat on his neck. What are we supposed to get out of that? I don't know.
Well, my dad was saying they interpret UFC and MMA into this movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's totally in it.
That's UFC's what I wanted to.
Yeah, he's a, okay. So he's a, for those who haven't seen it, Jake Gyllenhaal is a former UFC fighter. So they've got, I don't know if you saw one time they actually filmed part of the movie during a weigh-in. You'll have to go back. It was a couple months ago. It was like maybe 3-4, maybe more months ago. So they're doing the ceremonial weigh-ins, right? Then all of a sudden they bring Jake Gyllenhaal out and this other actor, and the two of them square off, and Jake Gyllenhaal slaps the guy across the face. And they filmed it in front of a crowd that was there to see the legit fighters fight for this whatever the card was. I can't remember the card.
Last time they did that was for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Paul Felder and Cowboy at the weigh-ins. That was the last time I think.
Felder. Yeah. I interviewed that guy a while back.
Great guy. Yeah. Lost his father to cancer.
He was training in Philadelphia. This is before he got to the UFC.
He was the champ out there.
I think he was. Yeah. He was training. I forget the name of the place. Hopefully I'll think of it. But he was training at a place in Philadelphia, Brazen. He was training at a place called Brazen MMA. He was getting fights, and he was acting on the side. He was a stage actor.
He went to school for it, he told him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, back to Roadhouse. So Connor, to me was the bright spot in all this. And he's probably going to get more offers, after this, seeing him in this role, whether it be the bad guy or, put him in an Expendables movie and make him a good guy with Sly Stallone, pair him up, buddy cop movie, pair him up with a comedian, with Kevin Hart or something like that. And somebody, I don't know, Cat Williams. Well, Cat Williams can't get work in Hollywood right now, but you know what I'm saying? So, I think Connor was the bright spot. They messed with his tattoos though. They took his back tattoo, which I like, and they made it really ugly. And then they messed with his tattoos in the front. And he was really beefed up. He was probably, he looked a good 185, 190.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's shorter than Gyllenhaal. Gyllenhaal is a solid 6-footer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or he's listed as that online. Connor is what, 5'9". So I think they figured, well, shit, he's shorter than Gyllenhaal. He can't tower over him, but he was goddamn thick,
So
he was beefed out.
This is better than the old Roadhouse.
No. I like the old one better. Okay. I like the old one.
Well, let me say this. Is this the best MMA fighter to come into acting? Is that what you're trying to get into? Because there's not really many out there. GSP, I mean, that was a great movie that GSP was in with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Captain America. Captain America, you're talking about when he played Batroc?
No, with Jean-Claude Van Damme, he was in, what, The Kickboxer? Was that The Kickboxer?
Oh, maybe. But he was in the beginning. I would say his GSP's highest profile role was in the beginning of Captain America Winter Soldier.
Never saw it.
Oh my God, you have to. He does a great job because the character is French, so it's perfect. His name is Batroc, and he's a character in the Captain America. He's a bad guy in the Captain America comic books, so they brought it into the movie, and they have this fight. It's really cool and everything. You got to see it.
How were the fight scenes in Roadhouse?
Good. Good. I mean, Gyllenhaal looks the part. You know, he's chiseled. He's got a six pack. But he's lanky. You know, he might have went $180. But he, like I say, 6 foot, but 180, 185. They had him when they had those UFC scenes, they said he was a middleweight fighter, so 185. But yeah, he looked like a middleweight, I would say. And so the fight scenes, I mean, Gyllenhaal, he did a boxing movie a few years ago, so I think he knows how to move, how to convince you that he is a fighter. And so the fight scenes were pretty good, but they were, you know, they were filmed in kind of that modern slick way that they that
cut
Hollywood and... films.
Mm.
Yeah, the Hollywood films now. You know, and the cameras moving all around. Yeah, yeah, all that kind of stuff. That, see, I don't know. I'm old. I guess that's the way I like it. You know, that, you know, you just film the whole thing and not cut it all up.
Well, before we get your rating on it, like, what made you want to watch it twice? Like, what was so good about this?
Oh, well, that was because my wife was watching it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, like, I watched it the night that it came out, the day that it came out, and then I saw that she was watching it. I'm like, you watching Roadhouse? She's like, yeah, it's got eye candy in it, you know? I said, and she had only seen like the first maybe like 15 minutes.
Eye
I said,
candy
oh,
of the guy who's doing the nose candy, right?
There you go. But no, she was talking about Jake Gyllenhaal, and I said, oh, so you saw Connor's ass? And she said, no, I haven't seen his. I said, well, it's in there, and it's in there for quite a bit. It's just staring me in the face.
Oh no.
Wasn't excited about that. I don't think she's a fan.
He did that years ago when he took the photos of his ass, and then like last year, everyone forgot about this. I just retweeted it. Connor was liking like man jerky videos on his Twitter. Remember that? Like last year,
he was doing what?
People went onto his Twitter, and you know how you could see like what people are liking.
Okay.
He was liking videos of this one dude who had his shirt off, his pants down.
Oh, come on.
It's on my Twitter. It was a big thing. It was a huge thing.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know if the dude's thing was a huge thing, but the situation was a big...
It was a big thing. Yeah.
That's the real movie Connor wants to star in right there. But
oh, my Lord.
What's your rating for this movie here?
My rating out of what? Out of five? I mean, five stars. I mean, I would give it a 3.5. I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
What does your wife think? Because for us, we have the interest to kind of watch, but like, did it seem like she was in?
Okay, so she found that the fight scenes a bit long and tiresome. Like, she doesn't want to see that.
Oh,
she's a woman. She doesn't want to see that.
Was it like They Live, Roddy Piper, 5-minute fight scene? Like...
Oh, no, but that's a great fight scene. That was rated the number one fight scene.
Great movie.
Roddy Piper and Keith David in They Live, which is actually my favorite movie of all time. Yeah, that was a fantastic fight scene.
Do you know why it's a fantastic fight scene, though?
Well, you tell me.
So people look at that fight scene. I mean, I watched it on acid, so like... What I interpreted was he was trying to get people to put these glasses on, right? To see
right. What was going on. They kind of look like the ones you're wearing right now.
Exactly. Nobody would listen to him. So it was kind of that moment where we may see this in a couple of years where people are getting influenced to kind of keep a blind eye, this and that. It was a special fight because – it would really be that way. People don't want to see what's really going on. And that's kind of what I saw from it as a long fight. You'd really have to make somebody see your point of view in that situation. I thought they did a great job of making
that. Yeah, he had to beat the hell out of the guy in order to put the glasses on him. Yeah, he kept saying, put on the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake, put on the glasses. And the guy wouldn't do it. So yeah, they had to go toe-to-toe. Yeah, let's see. What do I know about that? Well, he mixed some wrestling moves in there. He does what's called a gut wrench suplex. So he grabs somebody around the waist and then you throw him back this way. He did that. He did the gut wrench suplex, and Piper was talking about David Keith, or Keith David, excuse me. His name's Keith David, the black guy, and how, Piper knows how to throw a fake punch so that it like just barely hits you, but it looks like it makes impact because they do that in wrestling.
Yeah.
So he's able to apply that to acting. But Keith David had ever been in a fight scene. So he was punching Roddy for real.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You know, I think he was trained. Actually, I think Keith David went to Juilliard, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that art school, and it's famous in New York City. I think he trained as a dancer, if I'm not mistaken. But he had never really been in a fight scene. So, yeah, for a couple times there, Piper's like, yeah, he hits like a heavyweight. You know, and Keith David was not a small guy. He was probably 6'2", 6'3", and probably 240.
They probably had to film that, so because it's like a 5-minute fight scene. But you're saying,
right.
It was kind of like that, right? The Roadhouse. It was kind of like situations like that where they're trying to say this guy's in the UFC.
They dragged out the fight, you know, to make it dramatic and everything. And it is, you know, it is an action movie, so yeah, they were dragging out the fight scenes. I like the part actually better. I don't want to give everything away, but there's a whole scene that happens in the water with speedboats. That's pretty cool. I don't want to say any more about that if people haven't seen the movie.
Oh, I'm getting excited.
But I mean, yeah. So you haven't seen it yet.
I'm gonna watch it tonight. I gotta watch it tonight.
Oh, you have to. Yeah. No, you have to watch it. And for the UFC scenes, it's kind of cool. You know, to see what they did with the UFC scenes.
I had no idea that like the UFC was like part of. I thought it was gonna be like a remake. So this actually sounds kind of interesting. So
yeah, because they changed up a few things, you know, but they in some ways followed the script of the original. You know, that, you know, guy rolls into town and he becomes the bouncer at a bar that's being plagued by scumbags, you know, and then there's a top baddie who wants that bar to be out of business because he's got big plans, you know, and then he sends his henchmen after the bouncer. So that, you know, it follows that. And then, oh, and then the bouncer has a love interest who's a doctor, you know what I mean? So it follows that script in that way. But then there's a few little things that they switched up.
But it's an interesting movie. 3.5 out of 5 you're giving it.
Yeah, I would give it that. I mean, you know, like I said, Connor's the bright spot in it. He really got into that role for a guy who's never made a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I think he does a great job really, you know, immersing himself in that villain role.
So
yep.
To round this out, our last topic here. I mean, to round that out, you could go from a movie, before I get to the last topic, you could go from a movie to fighting. Because Connor said he was ready to fight Michael Chandler. I'm surprised it wasn't on UFC 300. But we saw Michael Bisping do the same thing, knock out Luke Rockhold. So kind of a disappointment. To round this out, Ted, there's one thing I really want to talk about here.
Okay.
We had almost lost a legend last week. It's something I haven't really discussed. It's something I was really surprised in. When you heard this story, You want to tell everybody what happened? Are you familiar with the story? Do you want to bring everyone?
Mark Coleman.
This is such Coleman. A story. If you could bring us through it.
Yeah. So, and it's one because I used to be a newspaper reporter, and I covered for about 25 years. I covered a lot of fires, and unfortunately, some of them were fatal fires. You know, where bodies were taken out of homes. So I don't know. I have no idea how the fire started, but it was in I guess it was in his parents' home. But he was there. Mark Coleman was there. And so he ended up saving his parents. He, it sounds like single-handedly hauled them out of the burning home. And, in the process, and they survived. And in the process, he, you know, as you would kind of expect, you know, he suffered some fairly severe injuries. I think it was, you know, mainly smoke inhalation. which is really can be really damaging.
I'm pulling up the photos for everybody here.
Yeah, and there was one little video that I saw where, you know, he's laying in the hospital bed and his two daughters come over to the bed and hug him, and he just starts crying, and he said that he couldn't save Hammer, which was his dog. So unfortunately, the dog died in the fire.
Now the dog is the one who actually woke him up.
Is that right?
Yeah, the dog's the one who woke him up, and he went in there, saves the parents. He tries going back into the house to save Hammer.
Yeah,
and that's when he sadly fainted.
That's when what?
That's when he fainted from smoke inhalation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. Yeah, I covered a lot of fires where animals died, and unfortunately, where people died as well, and people trying to get back in and save animals and save people, and it's terrible.
Shout out to a legend actually making it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Ted.
Yeah, what a hero. What a hero, you know, to do that.
The last thing I really want to talk about here, which I'm going to give it right to you. Dana White comes out and he says the greatest welterweight of all time, Kamaru Usman. Now, we all know that he has this grudge that he holds against GSP. You know, GSP comes back on his knees begging for the shot to come back, fight Michael Bisping. Comes back under one circumstance. If I let you come back, you are not allowed to vacate the title. Unfortunately, one thing led to another. GSP vacates the title. Now, everyone's in here going back and forth of who's the greatest. Ted, over the years, welterweight, we've seen a lot of amazing fighters. Matt Hughes, GSP, Sean Sherk, right? What are some of the greats out there that would probably come over Kamaru Usman, in your opinion?
I mean, he is a... you know, he's a great champion. That's for sure. I guess my thoughts, you know, the UFC, and we kind of touched on this earlier. The UFC is a hype machine, right? You always have to say that whatever the product is right now, whether in the product being your fighters and your cards that you're putting on, that's the best. That's the best that's out there. Although Usman is still active and he's not the champ right now, but so I do find this kind of weird that Dana White would say this, but usually it's whoever is the champ now is the best. Like when Ronda Rousey was the champ, oh my God, she's the best ever. When Anderson Silva was the champ, he was goddamn best ever.
He was, though.
Conor McGregor, same thing, right? We've heard that. John Jones, whoever is the top star or is the champion, They're the best ever. And I know it, and you know it, and a lot of other people know it, that that's just what the UFC has to do, you know, in order to sell tickets and sell pay-per-views. So when Dana White says that Kamaru Usman is the best, I don't really put a lot into that. You know, you could argue that GSP was better. He holds a special place for me because he was champion, and then he got beat. He got beaten by Matt Serra, and in a very embarrassing way. Okay, and then what he did was he took some time off. He got with a sports psychologist. He got his head screwed on right, and he altered his fighting style to a more wrestling base, because his background was karate. But he altered that, and he was a hell of a wrestler. I mean, he was, if he had been a collegiate wrestler, he would have been an All-American. Okay? So he totally altered his style and won the title back, and then had, I think, several additional title defenses. So to me, that is a hell of a
champion. Up until the Johnny Hendricks fight, right?
Yeah, because I made a video on that. Oh my God, you're going back, but I'm pretty sure I said that Hendricks won that fight.
He did. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when he retired. right? But then he comes back, he fights Bisping, does an amazing job. I mean, he had iconic moments in his career, the Superman punch, the way he would do the leg sweeps, like there was something very special about GSP, which is why I feel like it wasn't right of Dana to say what he said, no matter what.
So yeah, maybe that's a kind of a low key FU to GSP from Dana White. That could very well be, like you're saying.
But when people think about welterweights, I feel like GSP and Matt Hughes, no one's really, I don't mean to like come down hard, but I don't feel like anyone's going to really remember Usman outside of
time. When you're talking dominance, when you're talking dominant champions, yeah, I think you're hitting it right on the head there with Matt Hughes and GSP. Unfortunately, Usman, so if I got this right, he lost to
Leon.
To the guy twice, right?
Yeah.
In a row.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to how do you say that guy is the greatest champion? Like, I don't know. That's a tough one. It's a tough sell for me. How about you? What do you think?
I mean, I just said it right there. I mean, Usman, if he comes back, I mean, it was great what Usman did against Woodley. I thought Woodley was going to be the dominant one after knocking out. Lawler, after he knocked out Lawler. But then we saw Usman come in, and I feel like he didn't put a real good stamp on it. If there's anyone out there to be considered greatest of all time, I feel like you have to do more in the minds of people who aren't fans, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot that goes with the GOAT, but I just felt like that was a little weird, and it just made me think about the grudge, and it brought it back, and
And Dana White holds grudges. He holds grudges, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's no mention of Frank Shamrock anywhere.
Oh, or Tito.
Right.
You know?
Right. So if you make him angry, then even if you are, you know, Hall of Fame.
Cyborg.
Is there actually a physical Hall of Fame, by the way? Or is it just, do they just say, you're in the Hall of Fame, and it's just floating out there? It's not, they don't have a physical place where they have plaques or cast iron faces or whatever.
I feel like I might be making this up right now. I heard for a while there was none, right? I've been to Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I've been to Cooperstown. You know what I mean?
Right. Canton, Ohio is where the Pro Football Hall of Fame is. They don't call it the NFL Hall of Fame. They just call it the Football Hall of Fame. But,
there is a UFC Hall of Fame. Play. Probably at the Performance Institute, though, if anything. I don't think that there is an actual place. Maybe there's like a hall like you would at your high school at the Performance Institute or something, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, if they don't have a physical one, then they shouldn't be talking about Hall of Fame. If it's just floating out there in the ether and it's not a real brick and mortar place, then that's ridiculous.
I would love to visit the UFC Hall of Fame if there was one. We'll find that out, guys. Let us know if there is one. Let us know what you thought about the Roadhouse movie. Let us know what
has
you
anybody
about
been
UFC
to the
300.
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a hall or is it just a couple posters on the wall? Ted, I had such a great time tonight talking with you again. We have a lot to look forward to with UFC 300. You're back doing it on Twitter and YouTube. Where can people find you?
Well, yeah. I changed the title of my YouTube channel to Recovering Reporter because I'm now in public relations. I'm not in journalism anymore, although I work with journalists every day. So I'm a recovering reporter.
Like Connor's like a recovering champion, except he hasn't gone into recovery yet, right?
Oh my God, the hits keep coming. So it's like a sickness. I'm a recovering reporter. That's what I changed it to on YouTube. And I'm actually also working on a book right now.
Oh, wow.
So I was going strong with the YouTube, and I've kind of taken a couple weeks off because I'm trying to get a rough draft together for the book. The book is about the media and how the relationship between the American public and the mainstream media has that's been eroded. It's broken. People don't trust the media anymore like they used to. Why is that? How did we get here? And then what can we do? What can the mainstream media do to get out of that? To improve that situation, that relationship. Wow. So that's what the book's about.
Wow. Especially with AI right now, awesome. You could take anybody's voice and manipulate it to say this and that. If the end of the world comes, you put on your TV, all the news stations are saying you need to do this, you need to do that. The TikTok era right now, people are rising up and the governments are probably terrified of being overthrown at this point because they don't have control over the media or anything. People do not trust the media for some reason. Ted, that's so interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. We could keep up with that on your YouTube.
So hopefully by the end of this month, I'll have the the rough draft to my editor. And then we go through that whole process. And I'm sure she's going to come back and say, change this, change that. So it's a process. It really is. If anybody's written a book, it's a big sacrifice. So hopefully it'll be worth it.
Ted, if there's anyone in this industry that could do it, it's definitely you. And I'm so proud that you're back here doing it. It's been such a long road. So much has changed, and it was really awesome cutting it up with you tonight. And I hope we could do it again soon sometime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whenever, man. Yeah, it was fantastic, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Last but not least, you know what we like to do. Where can people find you on social media? You mentioned your YouTube, but where else can people find you?
Right. So I am on Twitter. I think it's just at Ted Check. So TEDCZECH. I do post on Instagram on occasion. Those are kind of the main, and Facebook. I'm on Facebook a little bit. But the YouTube is the main one. So that's Recovering Reporter. That's my YouTube channel. And I do a little bit of everything. I don't just do MMA anymore. So I talk about the media kind of, you know, when the media botches things, I take them to task for that. And some other things on the channel too. So it's not just limited to MMA.
Ted, before I let you go, I just want you to know one thing, man. You are such a legend, whether you realize it or not. When I was growing up,
come on,
you are. And I know so many people who have said it. Ted, back in the day when I was coming up, I was in broadcasting school. I would go on YouTube. I would search MMA news. This guy would pop up in his car. No matter what headline came up, there you were with the headline with short, interesting videos. And people really enjoyed that a lot because it was so real. It was so honest. And I'm so happy that you're back, man. You're such a legend. And it was such an honor to talk to you again tonight.
Eddie, come on. You're doing a great job, man.
No,
Just keep doing what you're doing.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. It was a fun night. And with that being said, guys, have a good one. This is Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. That's Ted Check. We'll talk to you soon. God bless. There we go. That's the episode of Pure Evil MMA. Man, I'm just so happy to be back here doing this with everybody. Bringing Ted back, man. What a moment. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back on. I would really love to do a podcast with Ted again because we cut it up. And I want to know if you guys enjoyed that. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/pureevilmay. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you can get podcasts. Remember, guys, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end. Behave yourselves.